Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Zachar Skadden coming to you live from Shreveport, Louisiana. And today, I want to first make sure we are up and live and running. But today, this will be the last episode this week, traveling for family this week. So I won't have an episode Friday or Monday, but I'll be back Tuesday. And I want to continue our study of the midnight hour, of making sure if we are awakened at that time, what do we do? We know so far through our study to give thanks and praise the Lord. If we feel like, you know, the enemy may be coming against us, maybe an attack. But today's a positive side of say a friend reaches out or something happens. And today having a listening ear for strategy. As we look at Luke 11, and specifically verse 5, and when we look at the beginning of Luke 11, with the chapter, and this is where in Luke, Jesus instructs the disciples of how to pray. And then in verse 5, he goes on and he says, the scripture says, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And the scripture then continues to go on to say, it says, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside, he answers and says, do not bother, it's already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot even give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, and that's a big thing, anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I think that anything versus what he needs, a very clear distinction. And what Chuck points out here in these prayer points is that in this midnight watch, if you are awakened, maybe the Lord drops someone on your heart or some situation, especially with what's going on in the country right now, economically, is to be willing to hear the Lord give you strategies during this time and let him show you others who have need greater than yourselves. And as we enter this time of higher inflation, those who are on fixed incomes and need help, or they just need help in general, not because they've made poor decisions, but certain life circumstances, things start to pile up, whatever. If the Lord puts it on your heart, and we talked about it, of if the Lord's resourced you, maybe the Lord's resourced you to be able to help others in this season. And look, it's convicting for myself of saying that, of being continuing to have this giving heart and not just try to hoard in this season of downturn in the economy, but to continue to have that giving heart to bless others as the Lord has blessed myself as we enter in the season. Okay. Now, with that being said, we want to shift to the news and really look at some things involving this current administration. There's some interesting things that are coming up that we need to be aware of, number one, but then also of, again, reminding ourselves of the dream Daniel Pierce had about this tussle with Russia on the Russia-Ukraine issue, how it can possibly lead to something, a misstep here or there, and that's something we want to try to pray about and avoid as we navigate this season. And if you've heard Chris Reed's recent prophetic word, it's very, very direct about that situation and what's to come. And so the prayers for, and we'll get into that tomorrow in our noon prayer, and really understanding what is to come, what might be even more potential to take us down further down the road we are already going on in the future. So, but I digress into the news today. And what's interesting is that the leaders of Finland and Sweden are headed to the White House to negotiate and talk about what could happen involving this scenario with possibly getting Finland and Sweden into the NATO membership, the administration is saying it's going to do anything in its power to hopefully get this through. What does this necessarily mean for our relationship involving Ukraine and Russia? Russia has given veiled threats of, hey, we're going to attack you. There's intelligence reports saying that because of these meetings and because of these countries trying to get into NATO, then Russia will attack them through cybersecurity, not necessarily ground troops right now, because their ground troops are obviously focused in on what's happening in Ukraine. So that's something to watch out for and be aware of. But this story next is something that is kind of in line with what Daniel Pierce's dream is. It's continuing to play out here in the natural. And Jake Sullivan has said, we will not tolerate any aggression towards Sweden and Finland during the process. And the article goes through in talking about how obviously the U.S. supports NATO. They want to try to do everything they can. And what he said, we're prepared to send a very clear message to any potential aggressors such as Russia during the application process. We will not tolerate any aggression towards Sweden, and there are practical measures we can take along these lines. What does that mean? If there is aggression, what if there's natural aggression, does that mean troops on the ground? This is why we want to continue to pray for this administration on this issue, because veiled threats like this to a country who already knows you're not going to stand up to these veiled threats. I mean, he's creating a red line. The red line hasn't worked out when Jake Sullivan and the likes tried this under the Obama administration. It didn't work well in the Afghan situation. It hasn't worked well even in the Ukrainian situation. And so it's just, to me, this is a misstep, unfortunately, by this administration on this issue. And then in order for Sweden and Finland into NATO, it has to be unanimous. We cannot forget that. And all the United States diplomats are saying, yes, this is going to be unanimous. But Turkey's saying, I don't know about that. They're continuing to pipe up and say, I don't think they should be in. And so this will be interesting to see how this plays out, what negotiation strategy they're going to work out with Turkey. So, and understand this is, there's Article 5, which says that all 30 NATO members will back a NATO member if it's attacked militarily. But through this process, even Jake Sullivan and everybody's saying, well, we're not going to go to that length. So we're willing to back you up if something happens, as long as it's not troops on the ground. But if something troops were to be on the ground and something else were to happen, what would be the response then? Is you're trying to act all tough right now, but when you get punched, like Mike Tyson always plans, they get punched in the face. He's playing right now, but what happens when they get punched in the face? I'm saying that we want that. I'm just saying we want to pray, because this is a very, very heated argument and an issue that needs to be very thoroughly prayed about and thought about and walked through in this season. And another issue, something we've talked about before, there's been rumors about how the Biden administration wants to seize Russian government assets in order to pay for aid to Ukraine. And now Business Insider has an article talking about how Janet Yellen, as she is in Europe right now discussing with other EU nations, how it would be illegal currently if the U.S. were to seize private property, governments that are in America only, and use it to pay for Ukrainian reconstruction, because it is not allowed in the Constitution. And some people might say, well, Zach, why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we take Russian government assets, Russian money, government money to be able to pay for it? That is if they're allowed to circumvent Fourth Amendment, private property rights and due process in taking seizing assets because they deem them a terrorist. They deem them a bad actor. What's to say that they deem Christians a bad actor or any other person that they don't like, whether it be when if a Republican were to get in office or a Democrat were to get in office? And so is why even Janet Yellen understands, yeah, we kind of can't do that right now. Now, could they create some law to make it possible? Yeah. Is that scary? Absolutely. Because then it's just changing whatever law I get. And then that would have to be challenged in the courts and realistically. So thankfully, Janet Yellen does understand and is very aware as other European nations are pushing for the American Biden administration to go for this as she's meeting with G7 ministers in Brussels this week. So a good thing. And then if you've seen this article, I think this is very, we need to understand this of how deals are being financed right now is with our economy in the fritz and our national debt where it's at and $30 trillion climbing higher of you saw this bill being passed to send $40 billion to Ukraine. And the question is, how are we going to pay for it? And Rand Paul clearly comes out and says, how we're paying for it is we're going to borrow money from China in order to send that money to Ukraine. And this was part of his purpose is, look, we don't have the money to be able to send to Ukraine. So why are we going to pretend like basically what we're doing is China's giving us a credit card and we're saying, here, Ukraine, you can use it. And we're responsible. Basically, we're being the intermediaries, co-signing for what, however much this money is. And that's, I mean, that's a scary prospect. We sit here with a national debt climbing and increasing to the level we really want to continue to for this administration to have the fear of the Lord and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia and Ukraine, because this spills over into a host of many topics and issues that do not just involve United citizens, but other nations around the world as well. And a lot of international news is that because of the energy crisis and everything going on, this has been rumored. Now it is being confirmed again that Biden is now turning to Venezuelan dictator for oil, hoping again that they would increase their oil supply as Jake Sullivan has been meeting with Saudi Arabia and EAU, United Arab Emirates, to do the same. Yet we have the oil in America and the Biden administration is impeding every process possible to be able to pull that stuff out of the ground, and to provide and then lower cost as well during this time of inflation and economic crisis. And this is where you know the economic numbers of 3.6 unemployment rate is just a total facade. It's a total miscalculation just to make the numbers look good on paper and in reality. And I've gone on there and I'll go down that road again, but not today. All right, more domestic news is in a kind of news. Bills have been passed to provide aid to the baby formula shortage. And then also the Biden administration is, after being publicly disgraced, is invoking Defense Production Act, making it possible for the formula shortage in America. Understand, this is only happening in America. This is not happening anywhere else. To help get back up to where it needs to be. And look, they've been knowing it for a year, and they refused to do something about it until it got absolutely disastrous. And then you have the issue with it's at the border, American containers that could be in American stores, but on the shelves at the border, and politicians have gone there and shown video evidence of it. And then now evidence out of Mexico that they themselves from the same brands that are sold here in America are having full shelves. They don't have a supply chain issue. Whereas here in America, we do. And this is, I'm seeing this on a state-by-state basis that I've been in, where you're seeing the complete difference of this, as you're seeing inside different cities, Mexico, and then in the United States. This is Brownsville, Texas, right on the border, and then there you go in Mexico, and there's no problem. Why is that? Again, some more in Mexico. Infamil, same brand sold here in America. Why aren't those on the shelves here in America? Why are their formula, baby formula companies having a problem? It's a big chin. And ultimately in all of this, I think this is a strategy of something we need to pray for, is praying for those parents to have wisdom, to find the formula they need while they wait for the shelves to be refilled. Because look, babies need milk. And if moms aren't able to produce enough milk, because babies more, they're growing babies, and it's constant day. They don't eat food, and remind ourselves of that. And look, the Lord has blessed us with friends who have, because they're oversuppliers, been helping us. And we've been able to be blessed in this season. And I just want to pray for other parents who, I've seen scenario here before earlier this week that, and maybe I didn't, that there are some people who they don't have babies. They're going and they went and bought as much formula as they saw shelves, as much as the stores will allow. And then they're going and reselling it. And this happened during COVID with toilet paper and stuff. They're selling for 5-10 times as much. And parents, and unfortunately buying that stuff because they feel like they can't buy it anywhere else. There's things you can do to get it. We need to pray for them to have peace to be able to see those strategies of how to get it, and paying at normal price, not exorbitant amount of prices. And that's price gouging. Obviously, it's criminal. Hopefully, justice is brought forward there for these parents who are in dire need in this season. We need to pray on that one as well. And it's interesting, and I think it's good that's come out, is that the Attorney General meeting with Supreme officials on security for the justices. We've been praying about this. We're starting to see some fruit on this. Merrick Garland is not only meeting with the Justice Department and Supreme Court officials, you're also seeing the fact that the U.S. Marshal is there, the FBI Deputy Director is there, U.S. Supreme Court Marshal, Supreme Court Chief of Police, and Counselor to the Chief Justice are all there in these meetings and wanting to make sure that the Supreme Court justices, all involved families, are protected during this. They've also, they're the ones who have sent U.S. Marshals to provide around-the-clock security at all the justices' homes. And so everybody was getting mad about the fact that Terry McAuliffe in Virginia, he said he was going to do something but didn't, because he didn't need to, because the U.S. Marshals did something about it, so he didn't have to do something. Everybody's, he says all this stuff but he doesn't do it. And, well, does he have to is the question. In this case, U.S. Marshals, the DOJ, are doing their job of providing security for them, and let's put for that and pray that they're diligent, pray that they're aware and discerning of what's going on with the security risks around them. As you know, abortion activists saying we're going to burn down the Supreme Court itself, which, I mean, if that's not an act of insurrection and terrorism, I don't know what else is, of the definition of domestic terrorist. It's very interesting how those veiled threats can be made. So on this issue, we want to continue to pray for this Golden Court case of life, for protection of the justices, there, and even for those who are providing security and their families as well, that they would have peace in this storm. And then we again want to specifically preach Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh, as we know that they're on the balance beam deciding which way to go, and pray that they rule on the side of life and have the fear of the Lord as they are most likely in the process of writing it, and if they've already written their opinion, of sticking with their opinion, like Lou Engle is saying, is we want to pray that they do stick with that opinion of siding for life. And then a few things to be mindful of in the next season, and then two victories, is one, the Biden administration plans to roll back basically free speech protection in education systems, which is shocking that you would even need to consider to say that. But in Title IX, it's evolving around Title IX and how Trump instated that free speech matters and innocent until proven guilty matters. Whereas under the Obama administration, it was basically free speech is gone and you're guilty until proven innocent, which is the complete opposite of what the First Amendment allows and the foundation that this nation was built upon. So this is a erosion of the foundation this administration is going after. We pray, want to pray that and repent for this act, potential act by the administration, and then intercede for it to continue to stand. And then on two victories, I want to close out on this, is that there's a court in, get this right, in District Judge Daniel Traynor, the U.S. District Court for the District of North Dakota. He's a President Trump appointee, has temporarily blocked the Biden administration's mandate that force employers to pay for sex change surgeries against their religious beliefs, according to the court order. And this evolves around if a employer to pay for sex change surgeries for children that they didn't necessarily agree with. And the Christian Employers Alliance filed a lawsuit brought by Alliance Defending Freedom, who is representing them. And this will most likely go up to the next courts. But this is a good victory of seeing, hey, this craziness has no legal precedent in it. And understand that the Department of Health and Human Services idea was trying to make this a federal law that companies had to pay for it. And as part of this law, I want to read this very clearly. Is part of this law says the HHS guidance encourages parents to file a complaint if a medical provider refuses to gender transition their child of any age, including an infant. So if a medical provider refuses to do a sex change surgery on even an infant, I don't know of a case that somebody is trying to do this, but this law would allow parents who would want to seek to have a sex change on an infant to be able to have a lawsuit brought against them, most likely. And just my train of thought of thinking through this is possibly have their sins removed if the medical provider refuses, lawsuits from the company for refusing to pay for it, etc., based upon religious beliefs. And so this is a major victory for sanity, number one, but for life, number two, for children, number three. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Standing up against this just radical idea of possibly having a sex change on an infant who can't even communicate anything, and parents are going to try to decide this. And so it's a victory there. And then last thing I'll close out on this for the weekend is that the big news that the Biden Disinformation Board, the Orwellian Board, is being put on pause by Homeland Security, and then that the disinformation chief Nina Jankowicz is resigning, has some clips of her basically standing against free speech. And the whole idea of this entire board is to ridicule the First Amendment. And if you don't agree with the Biden administration and what they think, then well, you should be shut down. And so this is a major, major victory. And look, this is brought about by, you don't necessarily hack the person, and some of that was done, unfortunately, but it was the idea. What was attacked was the idea from all sides of preventing freedom of speech to be able to be allowed. And part of that is going on with Twitter right now and the exposing of all that. I think this is all accumulating into one. That's why I wanted to talk about it yesterday, is because what's happening there is revealing what's going on and what things will really look like. And their Twitter employees are self-recognizing themselves as communists. So if they're self-recognizing themselves, publicly saying that to people, in the open square, in public, as they're being honeypotted. What makes this board, disinformation board, any different if it were to be put in place? So this is a major victory and a great thing, great story to go out on this weekend. And I hope each of you have a blessed weekend. Again, I will be back on Tuesday due to travel, back from my in-laws, to be able to spend some time with them this weekend. So blessings. Let's continue to stand on the wall. Pray for the office of the president. Ask for strategies in this season during the midnight hour if the Lord awakens you and put somebody or a situation on your heart of how to help, even if it's just for yourself. Start with yourself. Then if somebody, the Lord drops somebody on your heart, pray for them. Pray for strategies to help navigate this season that we're in and potentially going into with what Chris recent prophetic says and shows us. So let's continue to stand on the wall, praying for his nation, praying from the office of the president so that they should get back to the destiny of spreading the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. Blessings, and I will see you guys next week. Have a good one.